If you allow yourself to dream, vividly imagine it in your mind, speak it out in faith, then according to God's word, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believing, you shall receive.
Man was created to walk in dominion. He was created to have and exercise dominion over all the earth. But man's ability and willingness to exercise his God-given dominion was disrupted and perverted with his treason against God. But then Jesus.
Welcome to All Things Are Possible podcast with your host, S.T. Smith, where you'll get the uncompromised word of God in bite-sized nuggets. So grab your Bible and get ready for some good news. Now here's your host, S.T. Smith.
Hello and welcome to All Things Are Possible. I'm your host, S.T. Smith, reminding you that Jesus is Lord. You were created to rule and reign, and all things are possible with God. So with the Word of God open on the screen in front of me, let's look at this week's nugget. In previous episodes, we spoke about dominion and how God created us to have complete authority in this earth. Let's take a look again at Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 and 28. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." Wow. The Hebrew word for dominion is radah. It means to tread down, to subjugate, to have dominion, prevail against, reign, rule, take. Notice the Lord kept saying, "Have dominion." Dominion literally means to tread down. It can mean to put under your foot or to put in place under your foot. So it literally means to have absolute authority. Mankind was given unconditional authority over this earth. There were no restrictions or fine print. The rulership of this earth was man's to do with as he wished. Most people don't have a problem with Adam having absolute authority. And they shouldn't, but some people do. Now, if you're religious at all, and I'm using that in a negative sense, you could say, well, it couldn't be absolute dominion because God has absolute dominion. Yes, God does have absolute dominion, but he gave Adam an area over which he had dominion. That's what people need to realize. If you understand that, then you also understand what the Bible means when it speaks about the truth of the true sovereignty of God. See, true sovereignty doesn't mean God just does whatever he wants anytime he wants to do it. Sovereignty means that God has relegated himself to operate within his own commands and within the laws that he himself has set. That's the true sovereignty of God. Notice again, he gave man dominion. He gave man absolute authority over this earth. It mentions several times in the Psalms. In Psalm 115:16, it says, "Even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men." The heavens belong to God, but the earth he has given to the children of men, the sons of men. God owns the heavens, but he put the earth under man's dominion. God doesn't rule directly over the earth. That's under man's authority. Man gave that authority to Satan. We know that Satan tried to tempt Jesus. We can see in Luke 4:6-7, "And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be yours." The devil was saying to him, "I'll give you all this power and all the glory of all these kings if you'll just bow your knee to me." He said they were delivered to me, and I can give them to whomever I want. Now look, in order for this to be a real temptation, it had to be true. When were they given to him? Well, they were given to him when Adam gave it into the temptation in the garden. It was then that he handed the power and the dominion over to the devil. Notice the power that Satan has been working under is the dominion that God had given to man. Notice that all of that was offered back to Jesus, but Jesus didn't take it because he knew that it was a shortcut. He knew he was going to get it anyway. I really want to stress the importance of knowing that dominion is absolute authority. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9, and in verse 35 it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Look, every time you hear of the gospel of the kingdom being preached, you always find healing of every sickness and every disease. Why? It's because healing demonstrates the gospel of the kingdom. It's physical proof that the kingdom is near, or the kingdom is at hand. As the King James Version says in verse 36, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Verse 37, "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Let's take a look at these verses. Verse 35 says, "Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching, preaching, and healing every sickness and every disease." Who was doing the teaching, preaching, and healing? Jesus, right? Verse 37 says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." He said that because he saw them and he had compassion on them. He saw the multitude, that they were like sheep scattered, and he had compassion. He called his disciples together and said, "Listen, guys, the harvest is ready, but we have so few laborers." Now watch what he says. Verse 38, "Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Look at Matthew 10, verse 1. "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." If you study that word "give" out in the Strong's Concordance and Thayer's lexicon, you'll see that when it says he gave them, it literally meant he loaned them. I was a little curious about that, and I don't mean to make a doctrine out of it. I thought it was curious that here it was loaned, but later on it was given as a possession. He gave them, loaned to them power. And that Greek word here for power is exousia, and it literally means authority. He gave them authority. What authority? His authority. It was the authority that Jesus was walking in, and he gave them authority against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all types of sickness, all types of disease. You see that he was loaning them the authority he himself was operating in? It wasn't less authority, it was the same authority. Now go down to verse 5 of Matthew chapter 10. "Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions: Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them." Notice he didn't suggest or ask them. He commanded them. Where were they to go? In verses 6 and 7 it says, "But only go to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. And as you preach." Now the Greek word for preach is kerusso, and it means proclaim. That Greek even goes so far as to say, proclaim with a liberty and a gravity which must be listened to and obeyed. See, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Notice what he tells them in the next verse. Every time you see kingdom, the next thing you're going to see is this. Verse 8, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." Can you picture that? I think the closest picture we might have in our own minds is when we think about heaven. I'm talking about the place, heaven. If you were to walk down the golden streets of heaven, you wouldn't see people in wheelchairs and on crutches. No, you're not going to see people with any parts missing, because they're going to be complete. Satan would love to take over heaven. Basically, he said, "I'm going to take over heaven. I'm going to attack heaven, and I'm going to take it over." That was his plan. The problem was that he started on earth, and that's where he got stopped. That's good for us and bad for him. Think about that. Let me ask you this question. I know it's abstract, but sometimes a good slap in the face can kind of wake us up. What would heaven look like if Satan took over? Well, I'll tell you what it would look like. It would look like earth. People would be sick. They'd be full of disease. They'd be in wheelchairs. people would have blindness and deafness and so on. Why? Because his will would have been done there. In other words, his will is being carried out on the earth. And if he took over heaven, his will would be carried out there. Okay, let's switch it up. Revelations 21:4 says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Why don't we see wheelchairs in heaven? Why don't we see missing body parts? And why don't we see crutches? And why don't we see people dying of HIV in heaven? That's because God's will is being done there. If God's will is being done in heaven, and you don't see any of those things here, and if he tells us to pray that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then we shouldn't be seeing them here. Wherever you see sickness and disease and pain and suffering, you're not seeing God's will being done. Wherever you're seeing God's will being done, you see empty wheelchairs, you see crutches laid on the ground, you see blind eyes open, you see deaf ears open, you see people exalting Jesus Christ. More on this in the next episode.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and come back for the next episode, where S.T. Smith teaches how all things are possible through God's Word.